Week Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Grim, A Role for Your Life. So, and I have one of the masterminds behind the game. How's it going today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, my name is Michael Murphy. I'm the designer and one of the developers of Grim. The other guys that helped put the game together are Drew Corbett, Victor Brown, Justin Keys. A bunch of people have helped us, with the game from beginning to now with playtesting and, just general development and ideas. But that's the core group that's put everything together. We're just we're doing it on lunch breaks at our day job.
I understand that. That's how this show is.
Yeah. And it just kind of feels like it got out of hand a little bit, you know?
Well, in a good way, though, in a good
sure,
way, right?
Absolutely. It's been very, very exciting.
Well, that's cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about Grim. Tell us what it is and what people can expect from it.
Well, Grim is a very simple, very easy to learn, and hopefully fun to play dice game. In the game, you and all of your friends have woken up very nearly dead, and Grim is here to take you to the After Realm. And the only way to get out of this is to defeat all of your opponents and Grim himself in a game of his own design. So the way that it works is you're playing with three custom six-sided die, and you're rolling those die to try to earn the right to turn in tokens that Grim has given you. And you can either turn those in to Grim himself, or you can pawn them off on your buddies. But your overall objective is to run out of them so that you can then earn the right to face Grim in one-on-one combat at the end of the game. And in the game itself, in the core game, you've got the opportunity to use something called Grim's Hand, which is something you can save up with your tokens. Instead of turning them in, you can save up over turns to be able to access Grim's Hand and, press your luck a little bit and see if maybe you can turn some more tokens into him, or you can pawn some off on your buddies. And then also in the first expansion that we've announced that is part of the Kickstarter campaign that we actually just last night announced is available for all of our existing backers and everybody that pledges at the $25 level or more.
Awesome.
That expansion is actually called Grim Decisions, and it adds another element into the game so that you can press your luck a little bit further. When you roll three strikes with those dice, in the core game, you have to take a three token penalty from Grim. But when adding Grim Decisions to the game, you can actually choose instead to draw a card and let Grim determine your level of punishment for failing to roll successfully on your turn.
Ah, so it could be better or worse.
Yes, it could be better or it could be far, far worse.
Well, that's interesting. So how does the dice rolling part, is it kind of like other games like Yahtzee or King of Tokyo where you roll three times, or how does that component work?
It's actually the element that I think people are most familiar with is probably zombie dice and how
okay.
this works. But unlike zombie dice, with something like zombie dice, you've got, green die and yellow die and red die that have different variables on them. These are all even odds. So the three die are all even odds. And they have two of each, two green Grims, two blue Grims, and two red Grims on the dice. And the red ones are strikes. The blue ones will freeze that die for the rest of your turn, and the green ones allow you to have a token that you can turn in or save up for Grim's Hand. And you can roll as many times as you want on your turn for as long as you'd like. But when you get to three strikes, you will be penalized, and you will not be able to turn in any of your tokens. So in addition to just not being able to turn them in, you've also got to deal with either the three strikes or a Grim Decision. So you have to be very careful on when you're going to press your luck, because there are no, if you get, when you're rolling, if you've got one strike and then you've got one frozen die, you've got two left, you could very easily roll two more strikes because it's even odds. So you have to be very careful after a roll or two as to whether you want to keep going.
Very good. So potentially, if luck is on your side, you win on your very first turn.
Theoretically, you could, but
it's probable, but you know, it's possible, but not probable.
Right, in the roughly 200 or so games that we've played of this, maybe more, no one's ever done that.
No one's ever done that. Okay, well, that's good. That's good odds.
Yeah, it's possible, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I really like that concept. So with the game, what kind of age range is this something kids can play, or is it more just like an adult game?
No, we've kept things very kid friendly. We actually say on the Kickstarter campaign that it's for 10 and up, but honestly, it's only for 10 and up based on if you have any issues with the concept of the Grim Reaper being something that they play around
with. gotcha.
And I think most people, you know, we're in a post Adventure Time world. I think most people are okay.
They're okay with that concept.
Right. As long as you're okay with that, if you're okay with something like Adventure Time, this is like two notches below that as far as intensity goes. There's not a lot of questionable things happening here. There is an element of the game called a Grim Fate card, where you actually find out what your fate is in the After Realm. Those are all kept very, very G to PG. They're meant to be silly and funny. There's never anything about horrible torture or terrible things like that happening on them. And there are no NSFW cards in our campaign.
Good. Well, I could appreciate that. I'm a father. I have four kids, and so it's just I like being able to have a game I could play with my kids, and they love dice games because, you know, kids just love rolling dice. And so I'm excited to be able to get my hands on it now because I know that kids will love it. So that's great.
Well, thanks. That's one of the things that kind of happened for me too. You know, originally we were actually thinking about making a far more adult game, but you know, as everything evolved and kind of transitioned, you know, and we got more and more into all of the different games that we can play in the tabletop world that exists today over the last year or so, you know, I found so many things that I could play with my kids that I really kind of lost interest in doing anything that wasn't kid friendly because they're my primary play group and we have a great time.
Exactly, mine too. So I can definitely appreciate that. So with Grimm, who came up with the kind of like the illustration and art style of it?
That's me.
That's you. You're the illustrating man then.
Yeah. I drew the little Grimm there. Just one Saturday afternoon with me and the kids and my daughter.
I was bored, so I did it. Yeah, you know.
Well, I was actually playing around because my daughter's a far better illustrator than I am. And she was working on a couple of different things, and I come up with the idea of maybe making this dice game we've been working on Grim Reaper based. Originally, at the time, we were actually calling it something completely different, but we were thinking about having I was thinking about having this little guy as a mascot. So I thought I'd see what I could put together in Illustrator, and I was pleased with him.
Yeah, no, I like it. I love the simplicity and almost the cuteness of it.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the idea. I would love it if he could turn into a Hello Kitty for goths. That would be amazing.
There you go. If nothing else, people buy it because it's the new Hello Kitty for goths.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? So as of today when we're recording the show, you guys still have 16 days left to go on the Kickstarter. It's scheduled to end on July 2nd, and you guys are already funded and well successfully past that and have reached, you know, over 5 stretch goals. So congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. We're very, very excited. Originally we were planning, we had a very low, starting, goal of $2,500. And the goal there was like, we can do 100 games that way. We can hand assemble them here. You know, we just want to go through this process and get a game out and see what happens. And we kind of thought that would take at least midway through the campaign, if not the entire campaign, because we're nobodies, you know, we just put a thing together, you know, but we had actually funded.
Hey, you're still a somebody.
Well,
it's okay.
Thank you. But we actually funded in 8 hours, which really blew all of our minds.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And kind of changed the overall scope of what we were planning to do. But thankfully we'd done enough pie in the sky research that we weren't caught completely with our pants down. And we're able to keep things going.
So with someone that's thinking about maybe someone else that may think that they're a nobody, but they're not an established game company that are starting a Kickstarter, would you have any tips or tricks that you could lend advice to them?
I think the biggest thing that you can do is engage with the community early. And I mean, like, if you can go back to our Instagram and see the entire development process of the game. From the moment that we knew that it was going to be Grimm, we got an Instagram account and started posting photos and started, hashtagging those photos as part of the indie tabletop community on Instagram and Twitter. And we started asking questions and getting feedback, and people got, really interested and excited. And, I'd say it was probably just 50 to 100 people, not a huge amount for Instagram followers or Twitter followers, but those people helped make the game what it is. They helped us.
Yeah, definitely.
They got excited and they helped spread the word and they told their friends. And you only need a small core like that to get enthusiastic about what you're doing to be able to push it, to the next level of actually being a success. And that was incredibly helpful. And, they also know, as a group, they know so much. And I just mean sort of the internet in general as a group knows so much that when you find the right people, they can be very, very helpful.
Definitely.
And the other thing that I think is really big and really important is to go and back a bunch of projects. And the reason you want to back those projects is not so much so that it looks like you're part of the community. It's so that you actually are a part of the community. Go see what other people are struggling with. And every project that Grimm Games has backed and every project I've backed under my personal account are all projects that helped make Grimm be successful, because we get to read everything that they were having struggles with, everything that was a challenge for them. And because they communicate and give you that community, you can actually go in and learn and get a tremendous education on how to make this kind of thing work, just from reading what other people have done, what has worked for them, and what hasn't worked for them. It's really great.
Definitely. That's a really good tip. I don't think we've had that tip before, like go back projects so you can learn from people before you that have done projects. I mean, it makes total sense, and that's really good advice. So I appreciate you letting those future backers out there let them know what they need to do. And that's the great thing about Kickstarter too, is, we've talked about this on the show before, is that it is all really about the community and being able to get feedback and having a better interaction. You're tearing down that wall between the developer and the consumer. And it makes people get more excited because they feel more involved. They feel a part of the game creation and everything. So I think Kickstarter has definitely capitalized on the whole community thing, and they've done well with that.
Well, yeah, and the direct contact makes you a better provider of a product as well. Like, we thought early on that Chitboard, Punchboard, would be an upgrade for our tokens, because it costs substantially more than transparent clear plastic. That was a plan that we had, was we would move up to those and we'd make some graphics for it, and we'd do that if we got to the point where we could. And then we got to the point where we could announce that stretch goal, and everybody was like, hey, hang on a minute, fellas, we really like the transparent plastic. Can you just get a little bit better version of that?
Just upgrade the quality.
Right, just upgrade the quality of that. So we ended up doing that instead of going to the chipboard, which actually made the overall units of the product cheaper, which allowed us to be able to do the expansion earlier, which is what people really got excited about. So their feedback made it possible to make the right decisions and keep the ship going in the right direction, because they're willing to go in and tell you. And one of the things that I think is really important is the Kickstarter community is not like the community on a movie news site or YouTube. Yeah. It's not constantly negative comments and awful things that are misspelled and, hateful. The community on Kickstarter is incredibly encouraging. They're encouraging and they're interested in what you're doing. And when they have questions, it's a great conversation. So if you're somebody like me that really avoids like YouTube comments and message threads under movie news sites and things like that, and you're worried about that as part of your campaign, not the same experience at all.
Yeah, because the backers are invested in this happening. And so they're like, okay, what can I tell these guys that I feel will benefit them? So like the upgrading the quality of the clear plastic parts of the game. And so, and plus, you know, plus on your side, it saved you money too in the long run.
Well, yeah, we put it back into, don't worry, we didn't save any. We put it right back into the game.
There you go. It went right back in the game, people.
Right, but no, it really did, because we were able to do the expansion pack, which is 26 additional cards. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we'd have stuck with the chipboard, because it was so so much more expensive. And when we're talking about expensive, we're talking about pennies here. But comparatively,
but that adds up.
It definitely does. But from a per unit standpoint, it was a big deal. And the other thing they suggested was possibly the glass stones. And, you know, that was another example of, thankfully, there's a large community there, because we started talking about the glass stones and we started looking at those, and they were so heavy. I was like, okay, the shipping.
It would cost so much more to ship because of the weight.
Yeah, exactly. But that actually led us down the road of finding a better shipping partner that was lowering our costs. Even though we couldn't do the glass stones, we could do the upgraded plastic that everybody wanted and still lower our costs because of the shipping partner that we found. Which again made it easier to go back in and unlock the $13,000 stretch goal at $11,000.
Yeah.
Because we were able to save money in those two different places, all because the community had really great suggestions.
No, that's really cool. And, you know, people back projects, become a part of it, become invested. And yeah, it's a really great opportunity to see how games are developed and made. So. We know that this game is getting made. You guys are successfully funded and then some. So when do you plan and or hope to have the game out to the backers? And do you plan on having it come out to retail or not?
November is when we're hoping. That's what we've got to set as estimated delivery for the game. Everything looks good for that so far. We've got a great manufacturing partner as well. And we're trying to stay ahead of everything there, so that we can keep everything moving as fast as possible. Because I know that the real critical time period isn't so much the time period that is the campaign. It's the time period after the campaign and whether or not you actually deliver a product on time. Because I'm sure there's a number of people that look at our game and go, that looks interesting. Let's see if they deliver that, and maybe we'll hang out and do the next one together.
There you go.
So it's very important we get that thing out, you know, as on time as humanly possible. November is also my birthday month, so I'd love to be able to do that as well.
There you go.
And hopefully we'll be celebrating in November and getting that out. So we're very excited about that. Things look really good for that. As far as retail goes, yes, we originally that was not our plan, but some things have happened behind the scenes too that seem like that's going to be doable. And, you know, we're interested in taking the shot and seeing how it goes.
Awesome. So now you mentioned that future projects. So do you have future projects planned?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually have. I'm sure that everybody that goes and actually designs a game has a million different ideas.
You have your folder full of ideas.
Right. But we actually had a few things that there's one game called Pocket Universe that actually my 11-year-old daughter and I made over Memorial Day weekend. That,
cool.
You know, sounds like, oh, you made it over Memorial Day weekend, it's probably terrible. And I understand, you know, that we did it quickly, but it's a single card game that is designed to be played with pocket change, that is not like Coin Age, or there's a few others that are out there like that, but is in that same vein of being a game that's very simple. You keep in your wallet and you can do kind of fun things with it. And she and I are going to do a Kickstarter after this. Because she put a lot of work into it. She actually designed the logo, and you can actually go on our Instagram and see the prototypes that came in for that. And it can actually be printed in the USA. So it can be a very fast thing. And we're probably going to do that after Grimm and see if there's, you know, like she's 11, she's gonna be going to college pretty soon, and she's gonna need a car in a couple of years. Like, you know, hey, Kickstarter.
Well, that's cool that she's 11 years old and she's already getting into developing board games. How awesome is that?
She got real excited when we started putting all this stuff together, and she saw me working on it. And you know, and that's, she also has another game that she's built a full demo for, that's a 76 card game called Pancake Jam, that who knows, you know, she's already working on the art on it. She gets done with it, it might happen.
Wow. But, well, I'm excited to see it happen. That's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it happen too. I'm very, very proud of her.
And that's awesome.
But yeah, but beyond that, there's probably five or six games that we as a collective have in the pipeline that I would say are, you know, 70 to 80% finished. You know, from, you know, as far as being play tested and having you know, prototypes built and things like that, that we've done over the last year or so. So we're going to go through those and figure out what makes sense to do next. But the most important thing right now is, of course, to actually get Grimm out on time and to see what happens with Grimm and to make sure that the people that are backing us right now, that we support them the way they're supporting us. And then once we get that done, then we'll look at what's next and see kind of where we're going. But I think we're going to be around for a little while. This is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So, Michael, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate your time. I know that it's crazy with everything that you're doing for Grimm. But why don't you tell people where they can find out more about Grimm or more about you and your company?
Sure. You can find out the best place to find stuff out about us is on our Kickstarter page. You can search for Grimm on Kickstarter. You can also find our website, which is playgrimgames.com. And you can find us on all of your social outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Playgrimm Games.
Awesome. And we'll have links to that in the show notes, and so you guys could definitely just click on that if that's the easiest thing for you to do. And thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate it. It was lots of fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and good luck for the future, and I look forward to seeing all your future projects.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And thanks to Dan Patrice for the intro and outro, and you could find more out about him at thegeekallstars.com. And until next time, back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.